This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs. On 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Tuesday night. Welcome in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, continuing to come your way from baseball's winter meetings in Orlando. We have you for the next 2 hours as we continue our full coverage from the winter meetings. Today was a little bit more of an active day from an industry standpoint. Kyle Schwarber got his deal done with the Phillies. Edwin Diaz is headed to the Dodgers. Former Cardinal Steven Matz, he's got a new deal as he heads to the Tampa Bay Rays. But if you are looking for transactions involving the Cardinals, you are going to have to look elsewhere because they have not yet occurred here at the meetings, and no indication really being given that they are overly close to a deal being done. That doesn't mean that something might not happen. We'll talk with Heim Bloom one more time coming up tomorrow evening after the Rule 5 draft takes place tomorrow. You would think the Rule 5 draft will be the biggest part of that conversation, unless something does end up happening where the Cardinals make a move. I get the sense that the conversations that are taking place, in fact, you know, one of the things that we talked about on yesterday's show was something that Heim said yesterday, that there's not a lot of in-person conversations that are taking place with executives from other teams. That even here at the winter meetings, there's still a lot of phone calls and text messages, that a lot of the one-on-one conversations are more taking place with agents. But Heim said today that he actually, the situation presented itself where he went and he spoke with another head of baseball operations for another team, didn't share what team that was, and they sat down and they had a one-on-one conversation. And he said it was actually kind of nice to be able to do that, and something that he'd like to do a little bit more of. So that happened. We don't know any of the details of it. We don't know if that might lead to anything. I do know that Heim did a lot of media today as well. He had his spot on MLB Network today on TV. He recorded with us for the Countdown to Opening Day show, which is going to be coming up on Thursday night. So he had a lot of things going on, but and I'd asked him, I was talking to him just off to the side, and I asked him how late he was up working last night. I said, you know, when was the point where you did your final work thing? And it was late into the night. It was very late into the night last night, really early into the morning that he finally got to bed, and then got up and got going once again this morning. And that's how things work here at the baseball winter meeting. So work is going on. Whether or not that's actually going to produce any results at some point in, say, the next 24, not even the next 24 hours, because, you know, we'll be here tomorrow night still broadcasting the show from this very spot, but we are probably going to be in an empty hallway outside of ballrooms, maybe the last media outlet to still be here, because by the time the Rule 5 draft takes place tomorrow afternoon, that is just about it, and that's going to that will wrap things up for the winter meetings, and everybody at that point is going to disperse, and conversations will continue in those local spots, but that's going to be about it. So we are coming down the home stretch. Even though it feels like we just got here, we're coming down the home stretch of this year's winter meetings with less than 24 hours to go. As always, if you want to chime in on the program, you can do so. You can call or text. The phone number is 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. And for those of you who are watching on the video stream, like Eric, you can just leave a comment. Eric said nobody's making trades, not just the Cardinals. That's 100% correct. 100% correct that we've seen a little bit more free agent movement, but we're not seeing trade movement. And sometimes trades are secondary to some of what's going on the free agent market. So you can't force the market. The market's going to be organic. Things are going to happen. At some point, it's going to start to move a little bit. I just don't know when that point is going to be. This is what we've got coming up on the program today. Mike Claiborne is going to join us in just about 5 minutes or so. He is here as well as we get ready for the initial countdown to opening day show. We're going to talk some college football with Jerry Palm. We'll do that at 6:35. And then next hour, we'll play back some of the audio from Heim Bloom earlier today. We will hear from John Parado, who covers the Pittsburgh Pirates, who did not sign Kyle Schwarber. And we'll also hear from Stephen Carey, who has done some work with STL Sports Central and has been fill-in host here on KMOX. He's been here at the winter meetings as well, and we'll get his thoughts on some things that are going on. So that's all coming up. You don't want to go anywhere. You are locked to a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are continuing to come your way from baseball's winter meetings in Orlando. Mike Claiborne here as well. Both of us will have you for the initial countdown to opening day show on Thursday night. But we'll get Claibs in here on Sports Open Line today, probably tomorrow for a little bit as well. Claibs, good to see you.
Man, you know what? This is one of my favorite parts of the year as we round out the calendar year. You and I, we've been doing this for a few years now here at the winter meetings, and it's always good to see you because I know that spring training is not far away and warmer weather is upon us.
It's incredible. I say this every year, and it's more true every year. The amount of time that goes by so quick from today to when we are in Jupiter, Florida, it moves so fast.
It does. It does. And while we're here in the And at the winter meetings, the other cool thing is we see so many of our friends that we see during the course of the year, whether it's managers or coaches or media members, anybody who's anybody in baseball, you're going to see here at the winter meetings. And I don't know how they can get this thing done because this is a huge environment. I think it's like 5,000 people.
Yeah.
When you think about the job fairs and all the meetings, and every department has a meeting going on with regard to whether it's the PR department or the equipment managers. I mean, you name it, everyone is represented here. And it just seems like it's getting bigger and bigger.
Not to, like, complain about things, but this venue we have here, it's too small.
I was saying the same thing. So Chip Carey, this is his first one. And he says, man, this thing is huge. I said, bro, this thing is too small. This setup is too small.
Yeah.
I think San Diego probably does it the best of any of the places we've been.
Well, generally in Orlando, they do it over at the Swan and Dolphin.
Yeah.
That's great.
That was cool. But
yeah.
I gather something else was booked at that time. And, who knows?
Because there's three restaurants for 10,000 people.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
man.
It's not enough. The messaging from the Cardinals has been
not conceding anything, but kind of open for business as we speak. That business hasn't started yet, but it's an interesting thing to look at where they're going to subtract from the roster, but they're not going to openly state that they're going to concede the kind of team they're going to be.
Yeah, and, you know, I still think that's something they're still trying to examine. Now, I'm sure they have their board and how they would like things to be structured as far as priorities are concerned and what players would be of interest to them. And I'm sure they have a price on what they think their players are worth as well. And the only way you can do that is have conversations. And I'm sure Haim and his staff, it's not just not Haim, everybody's talking to somebody in other organizations. And while I think most of us would like to see some action take place here, I think this year you'll see a lot more done before Christmas because in the past we've seen players try and wait this out or agents try and wait it out and even teams try and wait it out. And at the end, they don't really get the bang for their buck. I think most players would like to have a deal done before the holidays. Mm-hmm. And I think this year going into a potential lockout after this season is something that's on the back burner. And so I think people want a little bit more security now compared to having to fret about how things can unfold later. So I say to everyone, stand by. I'm not predicting a blockbuster deal, but I think the Cardinals will make some progress at these winter meetings. And again, now you don't have to do face-to-face. I mean, you can text. You can do a lot of other things in order to get your point across.
Haim said yesterday they don't talk face-to-face even when they're here.
Yeah, that's probably right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably right.
If something needs to get pushed over the finish line, maybe you get together, but that's it.
Yeah, I mean, because most of the work has already been done. I think, again, because of all the other elements of an organization, their meetings are probably more fruitful than GMs and presidents of baseball operations, their conversations, because, you know, you had the general manager's meetings, and they can pick up the phone or text anybody at any given time. It's not like the old days where you had to make a long-distance phone call and meet a guy at a restaurant or anything along that line. You can get it done whenever you want to. I think that you just want to get a feel for what the market is like. And now the agent element, where they really have a footprint and true fingerprints on how things are done, by whether it's circulating rumors or trying to sell their goods on the player or getting permission from a team to try and go out and make a deal or put two parties together. There's so many things that take place in that situation that there's the traditional deal-making is probably a thing of the past.
I see comments every single day hosting this show, hosting other shows. Fans are frustrated that nothing's happened. Something my mom used to say when I was little, and I'm sure many moms out there used to say, it takes two to tango.
Yes. Well, I think, you know, that still works.
Yep, I think that applies to this. You can't get mad at the Cardinals for not making moves when the industry isn't moving.
That's true. And, you know, we've seen this situation now where, well, the big boys have to be dealt, you know, or they have to sign. So we've seen a few signings so far. So now the next tier of free agents will come about. And then also you have to take into account that once those guys have moved on, now the trade issues come into play, where teams will maybe zero in on a player that they thought may not be available. Now all of a sudden he is, for different reasons. So you have to make sure you're in a position to be able to pivot and make a deal. One of the things you can't do is sit here with your hands folded thinking it's going to get better. Sometimes you just have to push the button. And then there are other times you have to walk away because maybe the deal's too rich.
We just saw John Heyman running. That's like is something happened? He was just obviously late for a hit.
I can say a lot of things right now about that situation, but I'm going to let it go. You know, I'm new here today, so I'm on my best behavior today. Check with me about this time tomorrow, and I'll give you a different opinion about John Heyman and his running skills.
Yes.
Are you having a good time?
Yeah, it's the winter meetings. It's a lot. It's long days. Not you wish more happened. I lament for a game that I love that for these 3 days when there's a spotlight on it that the power brokers in the game haven't figured out a way to make sure more activity happens.
Well, you and I and Chip, we've talked about that before.
Yeah.
With regard to having some sort of structure with regard to how this thing should look, and I'm not sure, man. This I think baseball is missing a golden opportunity in promoting its sport by not having some sort of regulation on when deals can be done or people can be signed and the free agency window, because you want to have people talking about your game in the offseason, and I think we blow a great opportunity.
It happens here. I always talk about that second trade deadline they used to have at the end of August. They got rid of that.
Yeah.
Football starting, you're able to get a little bit of a spotlight, and I don't know, just – baseball – I think Rob Manfred's – I'm not a Rob Manfred fan per se, but I give him credit for a lot of things that he's done to help the game. But in the same time, baseball so often just can't get out of their own way.
No, I agree. I agree. I mean, there's been some real progress. I mean, we talk about some of the rule changes. The pitch clock, I think, is one of the greatest inventions in sports. And there are a lot of other things you could do that I think has made the game better. But with that said, there's still this – archaic approach about some things, and the answer is, well, we've always done it that way. Well, just because you've always done it that way doesn't always make it the right way or a better way. And you know, then you have to push back from the union who wants to negotiate everything, and I respect that because neither side trusts each other enough to be able to think this is for the good of the game and not just for one side. So you have all those other distractions, and therefore you get nothing accomplished. Mm-hmm. And that's the unfortunate part.
Yeah, it's okay to, like, throw stuff up against the wall every once in a while.
Yeah, and, you know, here's the other thing, Matt. You can throw it against the wall, and if it sticks, fine. But give yourself a window where if you need to tweak it, you can come back and revisit it after a couple, 3 years mm-hmm. to see how things work. Or maybe you experiment more in the minor leagues with things like we saw with the automatic balls and strikes and things of that nature. You know, there are ways you can test it out, and there are ways you can tweak it to make it even more effective if you're willing to try and get both sides involved and not make it a negotiating chip. And that's the problem we have. Everything has to be negotiated. And there's some things where common sense went out.
Kevin Wheeler and I were talking the other day. It may have been Jason Stark, it may have been somebody else in The Athletic wrote that one of the things Major League Baseball is considering, because doubles are way down, like exponentially down.
Yeah.
And what's happening is these outfielders are playing deep, and they know exactly where you're going to hit it, so they're shifting to where you go. So there's just, unless you hit this thing 120 off the bat, it's not going over the head of an outfielder.
Yeah.
There's been some talk about creating some sort of shifting restrictions in the outfield the way they've done on the infield, both from a where you play from right to left and also from a depth perspective. I'd be interested to see how that would play out.
You know, two trains of thought on that. You know, we get caught up into situations where we don't have enough power, we don't have enough this. And I go back to the fact that we have made slugs so important. We have made it paramount with regard to the success of a team that we don't have guys who know how to use a whole field anymore. You know, the shift kind of exposed, pulled the covers off of everyone because everybody was trying to pull the ball with power and slug. And now it's come back to bite them where you know how to position yourself now better. You know, there was a time when guys knew how to go the other way. Guys knew, and the way the balls were juiced a few years ago, you saw so much opposite field power that you couldn't defend it. And now they kind of toned that down a little bit. But I don't want to have too many gimmicks where all of a sudden we have lines drawn in the outfield, lanes where you can be and things. You know, let's not limit the skill set of players because one element dominates another one more, because it kind of goes in cycles.
Actually, one of the things that most bothers me about the idea of it is the aesthetics of the field.
Yeah.
I don't want that to be impacted. Claibs, always appreciate you being with us.
All right, man. We'll be together for a while.
All right, that's Mike Claiborne. I'm Matt Pauly. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Back at it on KMOX as we are broadcasting from baseball's winter meetings in Orlando. It is a sports open line. We are taking you up until 8 o'clock this evening here on your home for the Cardinals at KMOX. We're going to step away from baseball for just a moment and welcome onto the program one of our favorite people to be able to talk college athletics with. He is Jerry Palm. You can check out his website, which is fantastic. Palmbrackets.com is where you go. Follow him on Twitter at JPPalm85. Jerry, thanks for taking the time with us today. How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I am doing pretty good. I just kind of want to let you run with this because obviously so much happened over the last few days when it came to the college football playoff and the selections and the response from Notre Dame and everything. How do you just kind of evaluate everything that happened between the end of the conference championship games to maybe 24 hours or so after the field was announced?
Yeah, there was a lot going on there, wasn't it? Guess let's start with Miami and Notre Dame. And, you know, for the last few weeks at least, they have talked about, after the selections, how Miami's head-to-head result isn't going to take effect unless they end up next to each other when they're considering the teams. And to me, that's false criteria. You know, if they beat them, they beat them. You know, if you don't think they're better despite that, fine. If you think they're better, they don't have to be next to each other for you to think they're better. So it's, to me, it was just a lot of drama for nothing. And then, especially since this committee creates that circumstance or is in charge of that circumstance. So, you know, Alabama gets annihilated in their SEC championship game with Georgia. Now, they beat Georgia at Georgia, you know, earlier in the season. So that loss probably doesn't get look as negative to the committee as it might otherwise if they didn't have a previous result. But nonetheless, Alabama doesn't move down because if Alabama moves down, they're between Notre Dame and Miami. And maybe now the committee doesn't feel like they can do the right thing by having Miami ahead of them. If you just do the right thing at the time, you're not dealing with this nonsense later. Now, it's possible, though, you know, as the season had went on, that Notre Dame, you know, should have been ahead of Miami at some point. But when you get close together, whether you're close together right next to each other or two or three apart, you know, if you think the head-to-head result matters, it should matter when it happens or, you know, when they're – when they're back to within striking distance of each other, not necessarily right next to each other. And that's just kind of silly. But nonetheless, I think the right team got in because Miami and Notre Dame had basically the same season, and Miami beat them. So, you know, I'm totally fine with the result. I'm not really fine with how they got there. And, you know, other than that, I don't really have any complaints or criticisms, I guess, of what the committee did in terms of picking the teams and getting them right. It was pretty easy once you got to the championship game other than that.
Notre Dame is unhappy with their conference partner for their non-football sports in the ACC. There's already some rumblings out there that they are trying to maybe find another conference. They've always been connected to the Big Ten, but the Big Ten has always said either you bring football in or you don't. Do you think this settles down and they remain partnered with the ACC, or is this going to be a scenario where Notre Dame kind of takes their ball and goes home?
Well, I don't know how much or how long their contracts are with the ACC. You know, if they've got a deal through, you know, they're going to play, what, five or six ACC members in football every year. If that deal goes on for another 5 years, it's probably going on for another 5 years, unless they decide to join the league, you know, or they try to buy their way out of it. But I suspect that Notre Dame will get over it at some point. The ACC is probably the best conference for them to be in for their other sports. And the Big Ten, like you said, it's all or nothing with the Big Ten. So, and they're not going to do that. So the ACC has given them the best deal that they can get for what they want to do. And so they'll get over the hurt and go on. And what they need, though, from the ACC is better competition in the games that they play from the ACC, because they really let them down this year. You know, the ACC was not good this year. And it's just, you know, if Notre Dame's going to play half their schedule against the ACC, they need a little more help. They need that league to lift itself up a little bit.
Is it good or bad that we get this weekly rating show? Because if a lot of these problems are very much self-inflicted because of not just the ratings, but also the comments that are made by people connected with those ratings shows, and then they kind of go back on stuff a little while later.
I think the basketball system works just fine. They do it once in March. They give you all 68 teams. You have a bracket. It's good to go. Obviously, picking 68 teams is not something you could do every week. It was just those guys would never leave wherever it is they would meet to do that. They'd spend a whole week putting 68 together and go right back at it. So obviously that number makes it difficult for you to do that sort of thing. But no, I would not miss the weekly show if it went away. You could really just do it. You could do it in the middle of the season like the first one and then do an end one. But if you do it every week, you kind of pin yourself into a corner. And you may not like the fact that you might not like the corner that you're in by the time you get to the end.
I think that's exactly what happened this year. From a college basketball standpoint, the net rankings are such a big part of them putting together the final tournament bracket. Would it be good for college football to come up with, and I know we had the BCS and nobody liked that, and it was a lot of computer rankings and all of that, but would it be smart for there to be some sort of computer model that could help at least advise these the people who are involved with this decision?
Well, let's go back to the net for a second. The net is not used to compare teams together. They're not comparing teams' net rankings together. The net is used actually to measure the quality of your opponents. So, you know, if one team is 35 in the net and another one's 40, the committee is not necessarily going to say that the 35 team is definitely better. So it's not really used that way. And computer rankings in football are tougher to do with a level of accuracy that you'd like, because you're talking about one-third the number of teams that basketball has playing one-third or less the number of games. So you don't have a lot of data connectivity there, scientifically speaking, statistically speaking. So you're not going to have computer rankings that are, don't have anomalies even among the higher up teams. And so you don't want to get in a position where you're really relying on that sort of thing for football.
Moment or so longer with Jerry Palm. We see Notre Dame made the decision they were not going to participate in a bowl game. Other teams have dropped out. Teams like Kansas State and Iowa State are going through coaching changes, so that's the reason why there's a myriad of reasons, and every year we're seeing more and more teams drop out of the bowl, the various bowl games. Where is college football at when it comes to that? There's been a lot of people who have been trying to kind of bury the bowl system and say this is the beginning of the end. Where do you stand on that? Is there always going to be a place for the bowl system, or is this truly something that may not exist at some point in the relatively near future?
It depends on a couple of things. This year was unusual in terms of teams opting out. You might see it, you know, one a year or whatever. Notre Dame did it out of petulance. Iowa State and Kansas State, that kind of thing might happen more often where you lose your coach. And Iowa State lost their coach like the day before the announcement or 2 days before the announcement. I mean, right before the rankings were released and the bowls were selected. So it's but the problem with losing your coach now is, can you get your players to commit to a bowl? Because if your players are all thinking, I might need to go in the portal, depending on who the new coach is, or I might go in the portal anyway, regardless of who the new coach is, but the portal's not open yet, they don't want to risk getting hurt. So you might not have the commitment of your players going forward for bowl games. And this can be true even if the coach isn't going to leave. But especially when the coach is, when you're having a coaching change, That could be a problem going forward where you don't have enough players to field a team for a bowl game.
Jerry Palm, he does a great job covering college athletics. You can follow him on Twitter at JPPalm85. And again, the website is fantastic. PalmBrackets.com. He's moved all of his coverage onto his own site at PalmBrackets.com. Make sure to check it out on an everyday basis. Jerry, thank you so much for taking some time with us. Have a very Merry Christmas, and I'm sure we'll talk again coming up in the new year.
All right, thanks. You too.
All right, very good. That's Jerry Palm joining us, and we appreciate him taking a few moments with us. When he said that, you know, Notre Dame made the decision that they made based off petulance, I think that's a good way to say it. And it's unfortunate, and we were talking about this earlier during Rush Hour Sports when Kevin made the point that, you know, these baseball executives, and from a player standpoint and from an owner standpoint, are not going to talk. They're not going to do anything until the very last second next year after the lockout is already underway. And they're going to be operating in the exact opposite way of the way that they would be telling their kids to act, like the way you're supposed to act. And in many ways, that's what we saw from Notre Dame. They're so upset about the fact that they're not in the college football playoff. And I would even say rightfully upset. I'm not saying they rightfully had a spot into the playoff, but I am saying that the feelings that they have, how upset they are, were rightfully felt. I have to think that a bunch of those 18 to 22-year-olds might look back at it. There's some guys there that have played their final football game at Notre Dame, and they didn't know it was their final game when they played it. And if they just would have taken a beat on that one a little bit and made the decision, I think they probably would have chosen to play in a bowl game, and they would have gotten the opportunity to play in a pretty solid bowl game, but they're not getting that opportunity, and that is just the way things are. We are going to take a break again. Coming up next hour, we've got a lot going on next hour. We're going to play back some of what Heim Bloom had to say during his nightly media session. We're also going to talk with John Parado. We'll talk with him about all things Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and we got a few other things to get to next hour as well, including a conversation with Stephen Carey, who covers the Cardinals for STL Sports Central. That's all coming up. Don't go anywhere. You are locked to a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
We are starting to wrap up hour number one of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We've got another hour coming up after the 7 o'clock news. A couple comments have come in that I wanted to respond to. Eric sends in a message, says, are any Cardinals going to play for Team USA in the WBC? Yeah, there's I don't know for sure about Team USA. I would suspect that Brendan Donovan's going to get a pretty good look there. Mark DeRosa, the manager for Team USA and former Cardinal, did unveil new additions to the roster earlier today. That group included DH Kyle Schwarber, so a big day for him, as he also re-signed with the Phillies. Infielders Bryce Terang and Gunnar Henderson and catcher Will Smith, they all committed. So that roster now includes Aaron Judge, Cal Raleigh, Bobby Witt Jr., and Paul Skeens. So that's a pretty good roster. I think, again, there's at least a shot that we could see a Brendan Donovan on that roster. We also learned today from the Panamanian, for the Panama folks, that as far as the Panamanian team goes, they would like to have Ivan Herrera. What's not clear is if Ivan Herrera is going to be healthy enough to do that. And when health is an issue, that is when Major League Baseball teams do have a little bit of a say on if players are going to play. Chaim Bloom told us today that there are a number of players who are kind of on the reserve list that was initially received from the various international federations, but can't really share who's going to play and who's not going to play. Also, there's going to be some Cardinal staff members who are part of WBC coaching staffs, and some of that's out there and some of it's not. Bloom was aware of those. He didn't feel like it was his place to break that news, but you will certainly see some individuals when it comes to the WBC connected to the Cardinals for sure. They're going to be involved. Got a text message that came in from the 314. Says, it's hard to believe 45 years ago, Whitey Herzog made an 11-player deal, a 4-player deal, and a 7-player deal in all winter meetings. Would love to hear your thoughts on that. My thoughts are that baseball has changed and the winter meetings have changed, where previously, Look, it's just easier to communicate now. And I know there is nothing stopping somebody from picking up a phone when Whitey Herzog was doing that. Like, I'm not trying to say that you had to send messages via a courier, right? Like, it was more than that. But the way we communicate today and the constant communication and the prevalence of text messages and things like that and being able to just easily get on a Zoom call, it's different. Whereas back then, the communication also was different, where you went to the winter meetings and you went to the winter meetings to get business done and to initiate conversations. Now you come to the winter meetings to continue conversations and continue trade talks and maybe set some groundwork for something later on. So my response to that would just be that was from a different age. It was a different time, and that's not really the way things are done now. Speaking of Heim Bloom, he spoke with us earlier today in his suite. We'll play back some of what he had to say. We'll do that coming up after the 7 o'clock news here in the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
At baseball's winter meetings in Orlando, it is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX as we get into hour number two of the program. A busy hour coming up. Our friend John Parato from Roundtable Sports in Pittsburgh, he is going to join us in about 10 minutes or so. And then Stephen Carey is going to join us later on this hour as well. Talks about the Cardinals and covers the Cardinals for STL Sports Central. Right now, though, time for our daily fun with audio when it comes to Cardinals President of Baseball Operations, Heim Bloom. Heim spoke with the St. Louis contingent of local media that was here in Orlando again tonight and wanted to go through a handful of things that he had to say. First off, he spoke a lot about Brendan Donovan and the trade market that's out there for Donovan and also why he is such a popular figure for other teams across baseball, because in many ways Donovan represents what the Cardinals want to be.
I did my time in the MLB Network chair earlier today when they said, how popular is he? I said, pretty popular. So that's already out there, and that is the case. It shouldn't be surprising. I mean, what's not to like about Donnie? Like, my job is to listen, and on top of that, obviously, with what we're trying to accomplish as an organization, the possibility that for him or any number of players, there could be something out there that really pushes us towards those goals, it means we have to listen. But he is both the type of player and the type of person that we want more of in this organization. It's not a surprise to me that other clubs see the value that he has.
When we look at the infield and look at what it could be based off moves, when we talk about Brendan Donovan getting moved, very often we talk about J.J. Weatherholt taking over at second. When we talk about Nolan Arenado getting moved, we talk about that opening up the door for a Nolan Gorman to be over at third base. Well, someone who played on the infield all over the place last year and did a really respectable job of it was Thomas Sagesi. And we don't talk about him that much, but Bloom talked a lot today about what he liked from what he saw from Sagesi in 2025.
He's one of them. You know, I actually think that the opportunity that he got this past year, the thing that really stood out most to me as a positive surprise in a sense was when he got a chance to play short, he looked pretty comfortable there and he played it pretty well. You know, and just to demonstrate that versatility to move all around the infield, he showed the ability to drive the ball the other way, showed the ability to collect hits and make adjustments and counts. The game sometimes in the box seemed to speed up on him a little bit, but some of that just comes with experience, just getting himself in a better position to do damage on fastballs when he's in those counts to do it, I think will go a long way for him.
You know, one of the terms we use a lot in baseball when talking about guys who are available is we'll say a team is listening to offers on player X, Y, Z. And a lot of time that there's almost an inference that goes along with that the team listening on the offers are kind of in a passive position, whereas the teams making the offers are in the more direct position or in the more active position. Bloom said that's not totally the case, that, yeah, they are listening for sure, but they are also making some phone calls of their own.
Yeah, we try to do both. even when we talk about long term over short term, it doesn't mean you are just sitting there waiting for incoming calls. I also view it as we need to be aggressively hunting players that we feel fit what we're trying to build here and going out and going after them. And so it all, if you're having a lot of conversations, it does all try to flow together. But we've been doing that too. A lot of it just comes organically from having good conversation with the other 29 clubs. And when you talk about, you know, what you're trying to accomplish, you're going to mention players of interest on these other teams because you want to make sure that if somebody's available, you at least have a shot at getting them.
Now, we saw them move very quickly on moving Sonny Gray. That's one of the handfuls of actual big deals that have happened in Major League Baseball this offseason when it comes to trades. We also know that there's basically offers that are out there for other players, like a Brendan Donovan, but those moves have not happened. I asked Heim about when he knows, like what he knew about the Sonny Gray trade, that was the moment to pull that trade off, whereas with some other moves, why it isn't the time, and how he evaluates when that right time is to make any given move.
This is one of those things I don't think you could put a formula on. It is helpful to do work internally, do work as a group before things get fast to understand what is the point at which it makes sense to move on a deal, to make sure you don't let a good opportunity go by. But there is a little bit of a feel thing of, you know, when it's time to push, either because you think you got a good opportunity to really get the most out of the team that you want to match up with, or just because you feel like the time is right to push something to a conclusion. Now, that was part of how it played out with Sonny, where a lot of just how that developed, where the conversations were going, a little bit of instinct said this is when this should happen, and we have an opportunity to do our best business if we do it now. It's a little bit different in every case, and you know, you're not always going to necessarily know that, but that's part of where experience and just making sure you get good candor from your group, that people are willing to speak up if something seems like a time to pounce. It all comes together in those decisions.
Let's not mince words about this. The Cardinals absolutely are in a rebuild right now. That being said, that doesn't mean that there aren't players on the roster who are not good players and who can't be part of this thing moving forward. And we so often talk about a Mason Wynn and Alec Burleson, but there are certainly other players, and we're going to see more young players come up, make their major league debuts, and help this team win games. And Bloom, even though they're in a talent acquisition mode and trying to bring more talent in the organization, there is a comfort level with a good number of the players that are going to be on the major league roster.
I don't think we need to overthink that, because I do think we have a lot of good young talent already on this club, such that even if we see opportunities to help ourselves down the line and we pursue those opportunities, I'm still going to feel a lot of confidence in the players that are going to be running out there opening day and beyond. So, you know, that's part of why we are doing this and why we're trying to get aggressive with this, because we don't feel we're building this core from scratch. We have a lot of talent on hand. You look at the results of the last few years, they'll tell you it's not enough yet. That just increases the urgency that I feel to add to it. But we do like the players we have, and that's part of why we want to display that urgency.
The Rule 5 draft is going to be taking place coming up tomorrow afternoon. That's going to be at 2 o'clock Eastern, so 3 o'clock Central. Cardinals, as it's at right now, have the number 11 pick in the Rule 5 draft. Again, for those of you not familiar with the Rule 5 draft, if you select a player on the draft, they go immediately to your 40-man roster, and then you have to hold them on the 26-man roster the entire season. If you don't hold on to them, they have to be offered back to their former team. A lot of times you see relief pitchers being selected in the Rule 5 draft. That's the easiest place to kind of stow away a player. Ryan Fernandez was a Rule 5 selection 2 years ago, and even with what he did this past year, Fernandez was a really good Rule 5 selection because he made an impact on the team 2 years ago for sure. All that being said, it seems like the momentum is going towards the Cardinals making a selection in the Rule 5 draft tomorrow, but Bloom, as of when we talked to him a couple hours ago, he says they're still unsure if they're going to make that pick tomorrow.
I don't know yet. You know, some of that could depend on what it looks like when it's our turn to pick. But in going through the pool, there are some interesting players. You know, it's interesting when you actually, this is one of those things, it's the Rule 5 draft sometimes is an exercise in optimism that when you look at it every year, you know, we were fortunate a couple of years ago, we had one that performed really well and stuck. That's not the norm. But it feels like, you know, it's like a you know, Black Friday situation where it feels like, you know, this, the opportunity's there. How do we not, right? Mm-hmm. But there is more that goes into it. It's been fun to sort through, narrow this pool down, sort through some of the options for us and just see if anyone fits. But, you know, I don't know that I could tell you definitively right now how it's going to fall tomorrow.
And then the final thing from Bloom, and I thought this was the most interesting thing that he said today. There was a lot of talk about Ivan Herrera. And Herrera's still banged up. He's going through the process of getting healthy. But once he's healthy, they've made it clear that they want to give him the opportunity to catch again. A lot of people like me, have said, you know what, this Herrera catching thing probably shouldn't actually be a thing. Just go make him a DH. Let him play a little bit of first base, depending on what the roster looks like. If you want to throw him out in left field every once in a while, that's okay. But it just doesn't seem like this catching thing is going to work. That still might be true. Like I'm not completely backing off of that, but I do open up for the possibility of something that Bloom said today that I found to be really interesting. And this is a long answer, but I think it's worth listening to. It's worth your time for sure. Bloom today said that Herrera's never really been set up for success as a catcher. So maybe they can try to set up some of that success now, and they're excited to see what that could potentially look like moving forward.
Yeah, I think there's a little more to it than that. Just, you know, in terms of, especially with some of the perspective I've had on our organization, you know, where we've been in player development, I don't think when you look at the entirety of his career, I'm not sure he was ever really set up for success at that position because of a number of factors. And that's not, you know, a negative or taking shots at anybody. I think it's just some of it's just about the state of the organization, what else is available at the position internally, where you might not get that fair shot. And yet you're being asked to perform in the big leagues. And so you're not in a pure teaching environment either. And it all has to start with the player wanting to do it. I think it's really hard. You know, I've experienced this with like catching conversions before, which obviously he isn't, but you know, you could say this player should be a catcher. If they don't want to do it, it doesn't matter. It's hard enough to do it when you want to do it. He wants to do it. So that's the first step. He was very clear on that with us. And we saw an opportunity as an organization, especially having a minor league curriculum that's more built out. Well, he didn't get to take advantage of that for various reasons, both because it didn't exist in the minor leagues when he was here and also because he was pressed into service or called up in different ways to the big leagues. And because he can hit, he got other opportunities too. So there's a chance in the offseason, outside of cleaning up what he needed to get cleaned up medically and then combining the rehab process that was going to take place anyway with a deliberate throwing program that hopefully puts him in better position, but also to make up for some lost time just on some of the X's and O's and the basics of catching from a mental perspective, that we have the opportunity this offseason to slow things down for him and do that. So I don't really look at it as something that we're resuscitating. I just think this, we haven't done everything yet that we should be doing to support him as a young catcher, and we have a chance to play catch up on that now, and it seemed to me to be something worth doing. And we had, you know, really good energy from a lot of different staff, major league staff, minor league staff, to devote towards this. Just shows you the dedication that this group has. That, you know, it's the same thing we would ask of all of our players.
I find that to be incredibly interesting from Chaim Bloom when talking about Ivan Herrera, and more specifically, talking about the catching curriculum that now exists in the minor leagues that did not exist previously. And there's, when you are an organization like the Cardinals, who bluntly were not doing a very good job of developing players, who are not doing a very good job, you know what, I'll take a step back on that one, because they did develop players who got to the big leagues and contributed. So let me rephrase it as an organization who is not doing a very good job at making players the best version of themselves. Even the guys who produced Was there more that could have been done to get more out of them? That's a question we're never going to be able to answer. But it's in a weird spot now because the current group of Cardinals minor leaguers, they're in a pretty good spot now. They are continuing to add instruction. They're continuing to add more infrastructure. We're going to see the spring training facility be just about done by the time spring training is getting underway. That's a really big step forward because there's a lot of new technology and other things that go along with that. That's all going to be available. But what about the guys who are in the big leagues and the guys who are still relatively young in the big leagues but never got the opportunity to basically go through those processes that are in place for learning? How do you go back on that? Because you're not going to pull a guy out of the big leagues, especially a guy who is productive there, and that's where Ivan Herrera comes in, and that's where the work that they're doing right now. They hope that it bears fruit. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe this is who he is as a catcher, and if that's the case, you pull him out from behind the plate, and that's just not going to be a position for him anymore. But I respect and I appreciate the organization for being open to the idea that, hey, we're doing it better now. We didn't do it very well when he was in the minor leagues, so let's give it a shot to see if we can go back and like retrain, for lack of a better term. I find it to be very, very interesting. That is Chaim Bloom. Again, he'll meet with us one more time tomorrow after the Rule 5 draft. We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we are set to be joined by John Parato. He covers the Pittsburgh Pirates. He joins us next. You're locked to a Graybar Sports Open Line from Florida on KMOX. Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, continuing to come your way from baseball's winter meetings in Orlando. And somebody I love being able to talk to every time we see him at the winter meetings, it is John Parato, covers the Pittsburgh Pirates, has been doing it for a very long time right now for Roundtable Sports. John, great to see you.
Great to see you too, Matt.
So Kyle Schwarber signs back with the Phillies, but there was the report that the Pirates had given him a four-year offer. Like, how legitimate was... Give me, I don't even want to ask the question. Just take me through your like moments of consciousness as that whole story plays out.
You see the look on my face, don't you, Matt? Here's what I think the Pirates' strategy is, and maybe it's me being jaded from covering that organization for 38 years, but the fans are as mad as I've ever seen them. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was born and raised in Pittsburgh, so I've lived there my whole life. I think what the Pirates' strategy here is to get in on Naylor, Schwarber. I know Pete Alonso's a name, and I think they're floating names out there. And to kind of placate the fans, they're not going to sign any of them. And then they're going to say, well, we tried, but we can't compete with some of the big markets. That's why we need a salary cap. I hate to be a conspiracy theory guy, but I just... how they operate, and I really believe that that's what they're doing here. I don't think they really truly believe they can sign any of these big name guys.
I know I'm here to interview you, but let me just share, because I saw this news and I got angry. I actually got angry on behalf of Pirates fans because it's from Mars, the idea that they would ever sign Kyle Schwarber. They haven't signed anybody to a multi-year deal in, like, what, 10 years or however long?
It's been more than that. It's been 11 at the winter meetings in San Diego. They signed for 2014 Francisco Liriano, 3 years and 39.
Go give a legitimate dude a 2 or 3 year deal, like a middle-of-the-road major leaguer who's a legit guy. Like, do that. That's what proves that you actually want to do something. Floating the idea of Kyle Schwarber, I'm not a Pirates person. I don't live in Pittsburgh. I can't speak for anybody, but I was honestly annoyed on behalf of Pirates fans when I saw that.
Well, I'll be curious when I get back home tomorrow night what the reaction is. I know I had some fans email me when I wrote that this was all a facade, in my opinion, and the fans, some of them were angry, and they said, well, you get on them when they're cheap, and now they're trying to spend money, and now you're on them for that. And I said, no, I just don't believe they're going to do it, and I hate to see the fans. And you're right. they've had 29 losing seasons in the last 33 years, Matt. I mean, there have been, other than that three-year span when they went to the wild card game in 13, 14, and 15, they've really had nothing to cheer about since the early 90s. And, you know, to get their hopes up and to make the fans believe they're going to do something when I think deep down they know they're not going to do it, that's almost as cruel as losing every year. Because if you're going to give your fans false hope, it's not good business in my mind.
To the Pirates' credit, they played much better after the managerial change last year. And Kelly, I think, rightfully gets that job. He certainly earned it and feels like he represents that city really well. What have you seen from him, and what has he brought? As maybe the team did need a little bit of a just a different voice from the top.
Well, the one thing Donnie brings is he has, like, I guess for lack of a better term, a sense of buoyancy. He's always upbeat. He's always happy, and but not to the point where, you know, some people are so upbeat they're unrealistic. They just think everything's the greatest thing ever. But, no, he is, you know, he had over 6 years of service time in the big leagues, and he had to hang on by his fingernails pretty much his whole career. He was, you know, not the most gifted player, and his value was that he would do anything. And he played all nine positions on the field at one time or another in his career. And I think that carries credibility in the clubhouse with the players that respect that. And, you know, Pittsburgh is a very provincial city. There's no doubt about that. If you're not from Pittsburgh, everyone's always a little suspicious at first. And him being a hometown boy, and, you know, he understands the fans, he understands the city, he understands, you know, what makes everybody tick. But what I really like about him is he's a good people person. And everybody in that clubhouse respects him. Even with the media, we all respect him, and he treats us with a lot of respect. And he's a good baseball. You know, lost in all this is he really knows baseball. I mean, he learned at the hand of Jim Leland and Gene Lamont in Detroit. So, I mean, this guy knows the game.
Is Gene Lamont was brought back at one point. Is he sticking around?
He wants,
is he
going to do anything? He's kind of up in the air. I think if he does, it's going to be more of a consulting role. He was like the de facto bench coach after Donnie got hired in May. Gene's 78. He'll be 79 during the season. And I think he really enjoyed it because, I mean, I've been doing it so long. I covered Gino when he was a manager from 97 to 2000. And he's a wonderful guy, very kind of quiet, droll sense of humor. And I really think he enjoyed being back, but I think kind of his family's like, hey, you're like retired. Yeah. Like, stay retired. So I could see him being in the organization in some capacity, but I'm not sure in the dugout.
Yeah. Does the even if the offseason goes the way we expect it to go with not very many moves, the starting pitching is so good for the team. And it starts with Skeens, but it goes well past Skeens as well. In a central division where we're all waiting for the Brewers at some point to fall back and play kind of to what we think the roster says they should, the Cubs are very iffy about what they're doing. Cardinals are in kind of rebuild mode. It doesn't feel like the Reds and Pirates are separated by that much, and the Reds were a playoff team this past year. Is there some twinkle of hope that maybe if things fall right for the Pirates, this could be a special year?
Well, they have the pitching. I mean, they have playoff caliber pitching staff right now. I mean, you have Paul Skeens, obviously, either one or the second best pitcher in baseball, however you want to rank him, and Tarek Skubal. I mean, Bubba Chandler, they called up in August, and he's a top prospect. I believe MLB.com had him number 14 the other day in all of baseball. They have a kid that not a lot of people talk about, Braxton Ashcraft, who got called up in, I want to say, late May, early June. He pitched really well. They kind of broke him in as a long reliever, and then they put him in a rotation for the last month and a half, and he was really good. And they have another young guy, Mike Burrows, who's not a number one, but he's certainly a good mid- to back-end rotation guy. And they have more pitchers in the minor leagues, the AAA and AA prospects, and they are set. They need to get offense. It's pure, you know, as simple as that. They were seventh in the league in the major leagues in ERA last year, and they finished last in their division because they were last in baseball in runs scored and home runs and OPS and a whole bunch of other categories.
What from an offensive standpoint, what can they do to be better?
Well, I think they have to add some left-handed hitting because, you know, PNC Park plays better for left-handed hitters. That the big gap in left center is, makes it difficult for right-handed hitters. So they need to get more lefties and a right-handed heavy. I think at third base, I know Jared Triolo took over for Hugh Brian Hayes and had a couple good months after Hayes got traded to the Reds. I'm not sold he's going to hit enough to play every day at third base. He is an outstanding defender. I mean, he can really play third base. Shortstop, it depends if they're going to have Connor Griffin, who's the number one prospect in baseball. He's minor league player of the year. He finished in double A. I don't know, he's only 19, if they'll bring him to the big leagues at the start of the year. So if they don't, they need a stopgap shortstop that he's ready. And a corner outfielder. They need all three. And a second base. I mean, I like Nick Gonzalez, but they've been linked to every second baseman in the world in trade rumors, which leads me to believe that they're not as high on Nick Gonzalez as I am.
At one point, they were linked to Arenado at third. I don't think Arenado waves his no trade clause to go to Pittsburgh, honestly. Yeah. But that would be interesting.
It would be. You know, they need a guy like Arenado. And not just as a player. They need a guy who's been around the block, who's a veteran, who understands the game. Because they have Andrew McCutchen, and it's not a knock on Kutch, but he's not a vocal guy. I mean, he's very lead by example, and he's very well-liked. I don't by any means trying to downplay it, but I think they need someone with maybe a little more fire. You know, him or even another name that's been floated is Nick Castellanos, because obviously he's kind of at the end of the line in Philly. So, yeah, I think Arenado would be good, but I'm with you. I can't imagine him agreeing to come to Pittsburgh in a trade.
Is Kutch locked in for next year?
No, he's not.
Okay.
And that's a delicate situation in its own right. I'm not so sure he wants back, and I'm not so sure the Pirates want somebody who really they feel can only DH. McCutchen believes he can still play every day in the outfield, and there's been a little friction there over that in the last couple of years.
Always something, right?
Always
something.
John, even with the Buccos.
Yes. Great to see you. Thanks so much for coming
by. Matt, it's always good to see you, buddy.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
That's John Parrotto. We will take a break. Have more coming up in just a moment. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Baseball's winter meetings in Orlando. Very happy to welcome in right now a guy that is part of the team over at STL Sports Central. He's filled in a little bit here on KMOX. He's got a last name you might know as well. It is Stephen Carey. Stephen, good to see you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. It's great seeing you, Matt.
What's this winter meetings experience like for you? I know you've done the winter meetings before.
Yeah, it's close. That's I think the operative word here for my dad and for me is being an hour and a half away. It was just so cool to be able to come down here and meet with people, and I know my dad's just chomping at the bit to see his friends again. I think that the off season for family is often way too short. Mm-hmm. For people who work in baseball and love being back in the game, it's often way too long. So getting to kind of dip his toe here and see Klaibs and see you and everybody with the Cardinals has been really, really cool. But for me, it's just great meeting new people and being around the game.
This conversation is not supposed to be about your dad, but one of the cool things that I see about your dad is in an industry that's really, really hard to prioritize family and you're going to miss stuff and you're going to do all that stuff, I respect the heck out of your dad because it's very clear how much he still tries to prioritize you and your brother and your family, even working in baseball. And it's not like that for many, many people in this game.
Yeah, I've said it ad nauseum when people have asked about my dad's impact on me is there really aren't words that can describe it. He has been there for me in every possible way. And I couldn't ask for a better dad. I think that's why my brother, myself, my little brother, we all want to get into this industry. And it's because of the example that he's led. It's not the most traditional family lifestyle that some people would have. But for us, it works. And he's been the gold standard of someone who is in a difficult position. You're home for 6 months. You're gone for 6 months. And trying to manage all the nuance of everybody's emotions and schedules, he's done a great job. Of course, my mom has as well. So credit to both of them.
Mentioned the fact that you do some stuff with STL Sports Central. How much did you enjoy getting into that and really following along with this Cardinals team on an everyday basis?
Yeah, I mean, I have to thank Mike Claiborne for helping me get on board with them, with Dave Green, Joe Roderick, all those guys. They were so great with me and giving me the chance to follow around the team. Yeah, maybe the result at the end of the year wasn't what the fans wanted, but getting to be there at some capacity for me, where I'm used to being a play-by-play guy traveling with the team, it was a different medium that I was exploring, and it was refreshing. It was so cool. And just like yourself, there's so many talented individuals in the city of St. Louis that do what we do, that it was great to be a part of that.
Do you miss the Texas League bus rides?
Not that much. That's one of the parts that I don't miss. As my former partner walks up to the table, this was a great experience, just getting to kind of work from home, which a lot of people in baseball don't get to do. But the Texas League bus rides, yeah, a lot of cramped space, a lot of back problems. You know, you'd see people buy memory foam and lay it across the aisle. It's sort of par for the course, but it was a great time in my life getting to work with Amarillo and to start dipping my toe in the water of professional baseball.
I don't know if you realize this, because Tony Enzer was your GM, right?
Right.
He was my GM in Colorado Springs when I was doing AAA baseball in the PCL. He's actually here. I saw him yesterday here at the winter meeting. So, and Sam Levitt's a guy who works with the Padres. He worked with the under him. So there's a lot of different people that have worked for Tony that have moved on in their broadcasting careers.
Yeah, Shane Phillips, who does PR for the D-backs, is here as well. They're just so many talented people that come through the Texas League and, of course, the Sod Poodles, that have been able to kind of work kind of through a pipeline, right? Amarillo's been so good to me, so good to my brother, so good to Zach Goodman, who's incredibly talented and walking around here somewhere, that we have had the chance to really see a major league operation on a minor league scale. That's the mantra that they use in Amarillo, Texas. So credit to Tony and his staff and the people that have made such great baseball magic happen in West Texas.
We're talking with Stephen Carey, as he's part of the team at STL Sports Central. What's your takeaway generally? Because so far the Cardinals haven't made a move. We know they're talking. Maybe they make a move before the winter meetings gets over. Maybe they don't. But it's hard for a lot of fans to accept the idea that there may be some subtractions before there are some additions.
Yeah, I think you're handcuffed financially right now with some of the contracts that they've doled out over the last few years, and they're trying to rebuild but also remain competitive. You saw it with Sonny Gray and getting Richard Fitz. They picked up Scott Blewett off of waivers. So these are things that they're trying to do to add organizational depth, and it's fun to watch. It's fun to watch what Chaim Bloom is doing behind the scenes to kind of change maybe the culture of the Cardinals that over the last year or two has been stagnant. It hasn't been what most Cardinals fans have been used to seeing in their lifetime. This is an organization that demands not just greatness, but excellence to the highest degree. And I think that that's something that they're trying to get back to doing. It's a different staff. It's a younger staff, at least in the baseball ops department and the baseball minor league situation. But the on-field staff remains the same, so you still have some continuity. And seeing those puzzle pieces fit together has been a lot of fun, especially in just how they interact with each other.
It feels like there's pieces either here or almost here that can really be a part of something special moving forward, and they've got to reach their potential. But you look at a Mason Winn, you look at an Alec Burleson, a JJ Weatherholt, a Liam Doyle, a Quinn Matthews. I mean, these are guys that are right on the doorstep or already doing things at the big league level, and if you start to eventually get those guys to where you want them to be and can fill in around them, it doesn't seem like it should take that long for this team to be back competing.
Right, and imagine if you're trying to get rid of players and offload some contracts, if you didn't have that depth in the minor leagues where you could say, all right, look, maybe we don't plan on winning the NL Central this year, but some of these guys can keep us afloat and get quality major league time. I think that's the biggest difference is now, on a Sunday, if you need a spot starter, you have three or four options at AAA or AA even, just looking at what guys like Eshawn Henderson did last year. This is a group that I think is totally different than that of the 2025 season. There's no guarantee 2026 is going to be leaps and bounds better, but I remain optimistic that the people in charge are doing the right things to push this organization forward in the right direction.
He is Stephen Carey, again, part of the team over at STL Sports Central. Thanks for stopping by. We appreciate it.
Of course, Matt. Thanks so much for having me.
We'll take a break. Got more coming up in just a moment. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it for one final time. It is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, our second to last night here doing live shows in Orlando. And we'll be again throughout the day tomorrow. We'll see if tomorrow will be the last opportunity for the Cardinals to pull off some type of move. We'll see whether or not it's actually going to play out that way. So far, no news to report, no trades. Just talking with Heim Bloom, it doesn't seem like anything is overly close, but all we can do is wait and see what's going to happen. Again, the news of the day, Cardinals slipped a few spots when it came to where they were going to be selecting in the draft. They dropped down to number 13. They had the eighth best odds to have the overall number one pick, but they end up sliding down. They had a 2.35% chance. So kind of odd because last year they moved up. 2 years ago they slid down, and this year they end up sliding down again. So that's just the way the draft lottery works, but they're still in a perfectly good spot in terms of bringing in another high-end talent with what they are going to do coming up next year. So we know that, again, the Rule 5 draft is tomorrow. The Cardinals will be choosing number 11 in the Rule 5 draft, and we'll see how that is going to play out and whether or not they are going to make a selection. I would suspect that they will make a selection, but we'll just have to wait and see. A couple reminders for you before we do a call tonight here. We've got our Gas House Gang replay. That's going to be coming up just after the 8 o'clock news. As always, if you want to relive anything that we have going on here on Sports Open Line, you can always listen back via the Sports Open Line podcast again tomorrow. All of my normal hits throughout the day, I'll be on with Chris and Amy, be on during Gas House Gang, and then we'll be talking to you after the Rule 5 draft. Heim Bloom is scheduled to meet with the media immediately following the Rule 5 draft. So in addition to that being done and in the books, we should be able to have comments from Heim on what they potentially did, why they did or did not pick, and if they did pick, what they are expecting to get out of that pick. If I were to bet, I would say that they are likely to make a pick, but we'll have to wait and see for sure. So that's going to be coming up tomorrow. I do want to say thank you to all of my guests today. It was a jam-packed show. Mike Claiborne, Jerry Palm, also John Parado, Stephen Carey, all part of the program. We are at Baseball's Winter Meetings, and we will talk to you again tomorrow for another edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.